Let us begin. Let's start with Daf Tes Lamed Aleph Neiros Shachanuka Mishemen Shekvar Hechina Mishayva. Okay, are you allowed Hachana? Once you designate something for a mitzvah, are you allowed to switch? If you set aside candles, wax candles have already been put into your menorah, and now you decide, you know what? Let's be mahader and use olive oil. First of all, who says olive oil is a hider? That's itself is a discussion. Not for now. But the shayla is, once already something has been designated for a mitzvah, is it proper to switch it out for something that you feel to be more mechuder, or it's an insult? And this is the age-old shayla, you know, if you're tefillin are kosher. So is there an inyan? Oh, I struck it rich, I want to get now a new pair of tefillin. And the new pair of tefillin you're going to get is not that much more mechuder than your old tefillin. Is it really right? Is it really right to you to sideline your tefillin mezuzah?
You're being malshin the old one.
Yeah, you have mezuzah. One thing, you want to go get a tefillin, you know, super duper $10,000 tefillin. Okay, that's one thing. You just want to get an upgrade, you know, a little bit more. Well, let's say you have mezuzahs. You have good mezuzahs. They've been good all the years. You just want to get something a little bit nicer. So these are very difficult shilas. Let's see what's going on when it comes to the shemen. Beshut shvus Yaakov nishal yechad shidarko lahalad yer chanukah b'shemen zayis. That is his minuk. It's not everyone's minuk. Today it's extremely popular, but that's the minuk. U'madlik b'chol pal b'shav shetich l'ergo b'nashuk. And he lights every year at the time, at the ideal time. U'chshabol lahalad v'limotah shemen zayis b'beiso hischil hachin atzma gamir shal shayva. Okay, so today, that night, he did not have in his home olive oil. He ran out. And it's the zman, the ideal zman of halakha has arrived. So he took the next best thing, he set aside wax candles. Today it's not really wax, it's called paraffin. Right, it's not real wax, it's a chemical. He put these neros in the menorah. Guess what? Suddenly, right before he was about to light, someone shows up with a container of olive oil. So here is a shayla. Is it proper to remove the wax candles that have already been inserted into the holders from the menorah? Im yisalik yodoy min hanero shel shayva v'yalik b'shem enzayis shumitzu min hamuvchar. Oy shenoy mar hoil benitcha shem enzayis itchi, once it's been pushed away, it's pushed away the cave and shekvar hischil lo yafsik. Or do we say no? Since already you've gone so far to put the wax candles into the menorah, it's not the right thing now. The way he words the question is that the oil has been pushed away. Instead of focusing on the perspective of the wax was zoiche to be in the menorah. The way he words the shayla, interesting. I don't know why it's like that. He's worried that the oil has been pushed away. The heishiv nearly on yesterday to the kevon shel shvus Yaakov responds shekevon shekvar hischil lahachin halik b'neiros shel shayva yigmar hanitzva b'neiros shel shayva. It's an amazing halacha. Okay, you ever think about an amazing halacha? This can happen. This can happen. People in their homes, they have all different types of minhag, and then all of a sudden you want to switch the last minute. Once you already put the wax candles in the menorah, you have to be mashlo b'nei shemishum mishum mitzvah namuvchar ein levazois harishayna. This principle that we started with, when it comes to mitzvah min hamuvchar, that's not an excuse to be mevazeh the mitzvah that you've been doing until this point in time. We have over here a sugya in Sechtam, and this is a famous sugya of Hidr Mitzvah at Shlish and Bava Kama. So this principle that you are mechuyif to spend up to a third more of what you would ordinarily pay for mitzvah is only kishadayin lo hischil b'mitzvah. Ach, la'achar shehischil einu yochel lokach sacheris b'gval. Hidr, once you've already started the mitzvah, you have no reshus to be mahader in the middle. Now he goes to the whole bunch of shalos from the classic sugis of hider by sukkah. So he says here that if you already went and you paid for your esrog and your esrog is kosher, and then someone brings you for free an exquisite esrog, it is also law. Now here you have to know exactly what point in time is the shayla being presented.
Does he
it just mean he paid for it, or he's picking up it to make a bracha, and somebody says, here, I got a better...
It seems like he already has it in his hands, because it says, also lohaniach harishon, you already have in your hands. I'm ready to make the bracha. It's upside down. You didn't make the bracha, but it's already in your hands. You've already started the process. And now someone presents you for free with the most exquisite eshrog. No. Also lohaniach harishon shein muhudu lovarech alachwein nohamudu menu. It's also. Okay, that is enough to mean the halacha lemais. Ula mishut chacham tzvi disagrees, cholik halavi disagrees. For kasav shein zen nechshav shizchul mitzah, ella hachon of hazman abhi alma, asa shahid bik haneres bekoysel, u lechein tzorach limshach yoda bin haneres shayva af shakvar hidvika bimkoyma mulahal lekashem in zayis. So we have here machloik esap hoiskim, and we have here the chacham tzvi, he clearly disagrees, and he says, just because you did a hachona, you put the candles in the holder, that's not called the mitzvah has begun, and you're mechuyev to put away the wax and take out the oil. And he holds it when the Gemara says a third more, until you actually make the bracha, So there's a whole different way of looking at this halacha. Even if you're all ready to go, you have to stop and switch it out. What is Rit? I don't know what that is. In Prague, what do they have in Prague? What kind of coins do they have in Prague? Whatever this is. Shakon Eshag Acher, Ul Achar Mikain, Lots of Nohe Heimenu, Koneho Acher Ad Shehichlif Kama Pom Shalla Skuma Lerechanal. He kept on switching over and over. So you see from Lice, from Yonis Naibashitz, he went and healed, it wasn't a problem. You can keep on switching out the mitzvah over and over until you actually do the mitzvah. So the bottom line over here is, he have chluke deois, at what point in time do you say, that's it, Atkan, you've already made your preparations, now is not the time to start going with sugar and start upgrading things. Again, I told you, this is very common, these shilas when it comes to tefillin and mezuzos. People, I think the basic halacha is, if you're going to a significant upgrade, if a person has a mezuzos that are just, you know, they're average, and you want to go a significant upgrade, then you're allowed to do it. But if you're just going to go upgrade, a slight upgrade, that's only behider, then halacha l'maaseh, I think most poskim tzaddik, the impression I get is they side with the Shlis Yaakov, that it's not the right thing. Once already you have something, you're not mevaza what you have by switching it for something that you feel is a little better. Okay, next topic. That's interesting. Shaila, hachlofa sa sefer Torah lezu shegelulo l'mokim hakriya. Bishut igus Moshe. Nishal b'davar she'echad ma'hoitzi sefer Torah shlo hugulo l'mokim hakriya. A person takes out the sefer Torah to the bima, and the sefer Torah is the wrong sefer Torah. It's right after Simchas Torah. And it's on a Monday, and you lay in Parsha Aspiratius, and the Shemazel opens up the Ohr, and he takes out the one that's still by the Zoy Sabracha.
You don't even have to pick it out. You put your hands on the Eitz Chaim, it's over.
So you put your hands far, you put your hands in Eitz Chaim, well, that's the whole Shaila. How far you go? The issue, there's a lot of Chilukei Deos on this.
Yeah,
not so simple, the Shaila. But people there... But let's say
Louis,
let's say you touch it. It's not so simple. It's not so simple.
Always watching when the guy goes psicha, you know.
It's not so simple.
Which one to touch first? Otherwise, it happens enough times. They say you start. You move it, take it.
I once had.
They always pick up the thing to see.
Years ago, when I started laning.
To the other safety, you got to move it out of the way.
When I started laning, to me, it's very every advantage I could get. It's still true today. I go for it. So today, all of the new Sifrei Torah are written according to the Tikkun. So you know, it's an advantage. You can't say it's not an advantage. The old Sifrei Torah, they're not all. So I remember once that in shul, in my father's shul, they had a beautiful new Sifrei Torah, like the Tikkun, and it's clear. It's fantastic. Then there was some old Sifrei Torah. And you know, even the kashrus of the Sefer Torah is not so; it's not in question. And they're not like the Tikkun. And the script is not at all clear. And I remember how horrified I was. I prepared the Sefer Torah, and it was all ready to go. And I come there to Lane, and I wasn't paying attention. I would pay attention to make sure things are the right Sefer Torah. And I put my head down for one moment. And before I know it, I'm looking at the guy holding the Sefer Torah. They're singing. I hear even so. Shemazel, why did you take out that Sefer Torah? That Sefer Torah, it's in the wrong place. I'm not even sure it's kosher. It's not like the Tikkun. And I'm the one that has to lay here, this long, difficult parsha. What are you making life crazy for me? Nothing. There's nothing I can do. No. You can't put it back. You can't put it back. It was already holding it. They already were up to God Hashem Iti. They were up to Shema Yisrael. What am I going to do already? What am I going to do? It's very, very frustrating. It's very frustrating. So here...
What do you mean you're not sure it's kosher? Until someone sees a mistake.
I'll explain to you what I mean. I will explain to you what I mean. The Sefer Torah has a Cheses Kashrus. The Sefer Torah is a very old Sefer Torah. Give me... I'm not trying to brag. I don't want to be a bald guy if you even know I am. But give me 3 minutes. I will find for you a cracked letter.
Right.
It won't take me more than 3 minutes. I don't look. You look with one eye. You give me 3 minutes, I'll find you a letter the letter is cracked. It's something that I write. Because it's very, very old, and that's the nature of these old, it seems like they're 100 years old. As you goil them, the ink just pops off. It pops off the parchment. So if you find something, so we very quickly fix it. It's very easy to fix. You know the halachas. You use certain types of pens. But you use certain pens, you can fix it very quickly. But it doesn't take much to find the psalm. So when you're laying with it, listen, it's already on the bima. We're not looking for trouble. We're not looking for drama here, you know. We're not looking for drama. Don't look. Don't ask. Don't tell. Don't ask. Don't tell. But lechatchila, that's not the Sefer Torah you want to take out of the Aron. There's a new Sefer Torah that's in perfect condition. It's brand new. It's crisp. It's, you know, you're not going to find it. It's computer checked. It has alam ilus. We're looking for trouble over here. All right, whatever it is. So here we have a Shiloh. You take out the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah over here is in the wrong place. So what is halacha? One more time. Shog is Moshe. And this Shabbat Rosh Hashanah is the Sefer Torah. Shlohu lo l'moka v'akriya. For he is a tircha du tzibura. Lahamtin ad sheyiglu. It's kind of like a Megillah story. It was Monday after Simchas Torah. People want to run to work. And now it's going to take a good 5-10 minutes to be goyel and Sefer Torah from Rezayis HaBracha to Bereishis. In Nochel Lahachzir HaSefer Torah L'Zu L'Oren HaKodesh L'Kachas HaSefer Torah Sheiglu L'Mokav HaKriya. Are you allowed to switch it back? You put it on the bima or you're holding it, put it back in the Aron and take out the other Sefer Torah. It'll save the Tzibur 10 minutes. And it'll save the rabbi a lot of Akmas Nefesh from all the complaints and the Gabbai a lot of Akmas Nefesh from all the complaints that he's going to get from the people that are on the way to work. They're going to miss their train. It's a very hard line. And you should know that not everyone agrees to this. What it's saying over here is on this matter. It's not so simple, but let's see what it says. Rav Moshe says that don't argue that since you did not yet make the bracha, you did not say baruch hu, you did not make the bracha, so you didn't do the mitzvah. You didn't do the mitzvah, there's no harm done if you go and you switch it out. Don't say that. Like the Chacham Tzvi that we just learned above in the previous thing, the Chacham Tzvi says that you can switch out at the very last moment. Don't say that, Moshe says. You know why? Because the case of the Chacham Tzvi is where you're upgrading the mitzvah. Instead of using the wax, you're using oil. And we're following the opinion that oil is better. Even that's not so simple. That's not such a simple thing to say oil is better than wax when it comes to Chanukah. Maybe when it comes to Ner Shabbos, there might be an Indian, but not necessarily when it comes to Ner Chanukah. That's a very big discussion. Halacha l'maaseh, so we are. But it's not so simple that it has to be Davka with Shemen Zayis because of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. But that's the way we follow. So there you upgrade. Even the Chacham Tzvi says you're not allowed to switch out oil for a different oil. Dealing over here, when all the Sefer Torah are the same, there's really no difference between this Sefer Torah and the other Sefer Torah. My Shaila, my case, would it be different? I don't know. Just because one is an old, one is new, you don't necessarily need to kosh Sefer Torah, you just have to have Cheskas Kashrus. I don't know my Shaila, an old and new, it wouldn't make a difference. But over here, he's dealing with a situation where he holds a difference. El Rak Mitan Acher Shal Tuchah De Tzibur Bo'evin Ze Gam Lehachacham Tzvi Ulai Yesh Le'esar. Rav Moshe here says that it's osur, but notice, if this is an exact quote I do not know, he writes ulai. Maybe Rav Moshe is saying maybe there is some grounds to be made. Who knows? Uvitzad sheni. What?
I mean, he doesn't say pen, he says ulai.
Ulai. Look what he says. Yeah. Ulai. Ulai yesh le'esar. Uvitzad sheni kosav sh'af le'hashus Yaakov. The Rav Moshe calls the Shus Yaakov also. Maybe over here, even when the Shus Yaakov said that it's osur to switch from wax to oil, maybe here it's better. Unbelievable. The kavod hatzibur is maybe more choshev than hider mitzvah. Your private hider mitzvah, a more kosher, esrog, more kosher, maybe that's insignificant relative to the honor of the tzibur. They're sitting around and doing nothing. That is the defining chiddush. Is that if you put back a sefer Torah, you being moitzi las on that sefer Torah. If you already took out a Sefer Torah and then you put it back in the Aron Kodesh, so people are going to say, why did they put it back in the Aron Kodesh? Not everyone's going to realize it's in the wrong location. They're going to think it's because it's possible. And, it's possible. Why is it possible? It's possible. Who gave the Sefer Torah? Mr. So-and-so. Mr. So-and-so gave the shul, whose name is on the mantle, the Sefer Torah. You know, one thing leads to another. I know a ma'aseh, a person who gave a Sefer Torah, and it's a terrible ma'aseh. He gave a Sefer Torah to a shul, and there was a psalm of Sefer Torah, and the Gabbai did not get around to fixing it lightning fast. It took him. So the person who donated the Sefer Torah was so insulted that he did not fix it within a day. He took it away from the shul. He took the Sefer Torah out of the shul and gave it to another shul. Because the Gabbai just did not get around to having it fixed very, very quickly. He was dilly-dally, like, you know, it's a big tirchot, the sofa, this, that, so it'll take another week, another 2 weeks till we get it fixed. You're not going to fix it immediately? What kind of shul is this? He wore it to another shul. It's a very, very disturbing story. Well, my Sahavi Shema Yavet, Shahavi Machlek is. What? No, it wasn't a new Sefer Torah. He got the Sefer Torah from an auction, an army auction. Okay, the army auctioned off. Yeah, the army auctioned off a Sefer Torah, a surplus, army surplus. So they had religious items. He paid a lot of money. The army auctioned off, and you think the army have they need more chaplains, more Sefer Torah. You always hear stories of trying to collect Sefer Torah. I don't know. There's an American army, not the Israeli army. They auctioned off the Sefer Torah, and this person, he bought it for a few $1,000, and he had a small ceremony in a shul. He donated it to a shul. Made it to a shul, not in this neighborhood, not in the Flavio, somewhere, not in this neighborhood, and it was there. And then I was once inquired. I asked someone, you saw that Sefer Torah? He says, no. You know what happened? You wouldn't believe what happened. It was posel on Shabbos, and the guy came back the next Shabbos, and they still didn't fix it. He was so upset they didn't fix it. But the next Shabbos, he just took it out of the shul and he gave it to another shul. And the people in the shul were very upset, like, just because we didn't get the Sefer Torah fixed so quick. It depends on your arrangements. Today it's very common where you don't give it to the shul. Today it's very common where you're making the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, it's your Sefer Torah, and it's on loan to a shul. It's on loan. It depends where. Many shuls they don't have a Sefer Torah, so they all chip in together. They all have a community community campaign to ask, so it's a shul Sefer Torah. But very often you see people, they have a private Sefer Torah in shuls, and it can be there forever. Sometimes, you know, once it's there, it just stays there forever.
I know a rabbi that said, fine, you want to leave it with me? Pay rent.
Pay rent for this, pay rent. Yeah, so, and you know, some shuls...
So why in front of your...
Yeah, there are they don't have room.
All the years that you're paying insurance nowadays, it adds up to a lot of money.
Yeah, and there are shuls that don't have room. There are shuls that lavish, they have a small loan kodesh with a safe. They invested in a safe, and they can only fit in the safe 3 or 4 Sefer Torah. And people say, they have a Sefer Torah in their house, like an old Sefer Torah. I know this. And they want to give it to the shul, should have it. And the shul's not going to, just storage. And the shul says, I'm sorry, we're not a storage center. You want to give it to us permanently? Okay, maybe. We don't need it. We have already 3 Sefer Torah. You want to just store it here? A storage for the shul? We're not interested. We're not a storage center. Okay, there are all different types of stores. But in any event, he has over here this idea of moitzi las. If you're going to put back the Sefer Torah, this new concept which you don't have when it comes to other things. The Yavet says, and while he's being carried, some say, you are allowed to return it. The Yesh of some say you're not allowed to. Do whatever you want. If the shul is not lacking, that's what he seems to be saying in defining halacha. You have a tzad 2 ways, and you have to make an assessment what kind of people you have in your shul. If everyone in the shul is retired, and it's a 9 o'clock minyan, and they have nowhere to go anywhere, so then it would be better not to be mavaz of the Sefer Torah, and you should take it out and you should be goyal. But if everyone is... What? Okay. Well, let's say you have a shul where everyone is on the run. I don't know what he's talking about. They're not makbid. It depends where you go. Okay, so this is the second time. Let's go to the third topic. Third topic is bracha al esrog mechuda shel chaveroi oy esrog kosher sheloi. Okay, this is the classic shiloh. Well, not classes, this is a takeoff on the classic shaila. Meshut mabit kosaf shetoyv lot says idei chayvasi dalaminim beeshrek shum konui b'moynoi milirdoif achar eshrek yosem mehuda shena shaloi. Beautiful insight. You go to shul, you always see this after davening in certain shuls, they go over to the rabbi, they go over to someone, everyone shake, everyone else is a little in eshrek. So they shake, everyone's shaking, because this one is this eshrog is a special eshrog. It's a yuchus, it's a yanava, it's a chazoinish. From this paradise, that paradise, you have the lulavim, the fancy lulavim today. What are they called today? The lulavim, the dairy lulav. Everyone has a dairy lulav today. It's ready to run in the mill. Dairy lulavim. Okay, so. So here the shayla is. He says no. It's better. Don't run. To want to use someone else's lulav that's not yours, better use yours than something you pay from your own hard-earned money. Why? Because there's the problems. Because if someone gives you the lulav, they have to give you the matan. Because on the first day it has to be ulakachtem lochem. And maybe the one that's giving you the Lulav Neshek is not giving you to the Matana Gemura. It has to be a Matana Gemura, a Matana Almanas Lahachsir. He has to sincerely give you his Lulav Neshek so you Mekayim the Mitzvah. Who says that he has a sincere Gemira Stas to be Makne his beautiful Lulav Neshek to you? There is no guarantee. The only way you can guarantee that it's yours is if you paid for it. If you paid for it, even if it's not the most expensive lulav and eshrog, one thing is certain, it's yours. Ulekachtem lochem. Taking someone else's expensive lulav and eshrog, you have no guarantee. The gavim nesha ha-koyin ha-oysum lehidur mitzvah lo hoi lo yushus losis lo hoisiv al-yoysim mishlush b'mitzvah. A person purchases it. Lede mitzvah, you have no rishus to be moisiv al yoyser mishlish b'mitzvahs im b'bnei sheshilim yoyser hisivu lahalois es mechir ha-estroigim ocherim ha-ksherim shenim kol kach nudonim kemahu af al pi sh'amru ad kan mishaloi mikan melech shal kodesh baruch hu dahayinu shiyosu v'la kodesh baruch mechayim b'kamachim kol zeh rakish she'en hisivu liyikor ho-acherim elu l'pirsum hidr ha-mitzvah כגוין ומגמליל שכון אשר בלב זוס ונוכלוי מגן כן כי לא יקונו על ההידור אלו שעיס השנה לא נמסו אלו מועטם גשם. No, what he's saying over here is that when you, this is a very strange idea that when you buy an estrog that's more mahudur, who says you're allowed to buy such an expensive estrog? You're only allowed to pay for an estrog a third more than it's really worth. When someone comes into shul with a very expensive estrog, it costs $400. Someone showed me this year an estrog. $400. And the other guy had an estrog for $600. So this is... So you think, this is a beautiful mitzvah. You're behader in the estrog. You're behader in the estrog about shlish. This is not shlish. This is 300 times more its original price. So when it's 300 times more the original price, it's gezel. Or it's a corruption of the mitzvah. So it's, he's saying something along those lines. And not only is it a corruption of the mitzvah, it corrupts everyone's mitzvah. Because once this guy is willing to pay $300 for an estrog, so then all the moichrei estrogim, they raise the prices. So it's not really mechuder. In fact, yotza schoroi behefseidoi. If you're paying too much for an estrog, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to buy an estrog. The mitzvah is to lahader a third. If you're paying, paying 10 times more than it's really, really worth, this is not an inyan of hidur mitzvah. So what are you accomplishing by taking someone's estrog that's more mahudur? It's a fraud. It's not mahudur. Mahudur has rules. Hidur means a third more, not 100 times more. And especially, not only is it 100 times more, it's corrupting the market of all the estrogim in the market. So you by going in the mahadir and trying to shake his love estrog, you're just adding fuel to the corruption that is taking place out there in society. And that's something, now that's a little bit of a...
Well, initially, if the glatt kosher, the prices went up like crazy, they put a... put a ban on it so that the prices
come down. When it says the Ulkar pre eats Hodor, the word Hodor does not mean that you have to spend more money, just as a definition of what type of Esro, but it has nothing to do with Hidur Mitzvah. So therefore, so far we come out that for two reasons, the Mabit says it is not ideal for a person to take the estrog of his friend that is more mechuder than use his own estrog. Number one, by chapping someone else's estrog, there's no guarantee that he gives it to you with gemira stas. It can very well be that you're not yoytze altogether because it's not lekachtem lochem. Number two, the hidur that your friend has is probably not in the category of hidur. It's probably a corruption of the mitzvah of mechuder, and therefore you're not. What are you gaining? You have an estrog that's basic, that's the mitzvah. Taking his estrog, what have you gained? It's mahudr, that's not called hidr. Hidr has guidelines. Corruption, fraud, geneva, that's not called hidr. Rav Bik, the famous line of Rav Bik, people lined up around his block to show him, to paskin on him, the estrog and lulav, and on the estrogim. He sat the entire day looking at estrogim. Rav Belsky, Zichron Levach, used to do that also. Rav Fark is here, and he used to also, next to Chaim Berlin, he used to go olamish around the block, and the day was over, he said, a pasla estrog I didn't see. A kosher dollar I also didn't see. How much did you pay for this? $60 for this? Wow, someone really is taking a ride. $100 every estrog, you know what? This is not worth.
My son told me in Kerem Yavne, everybody lined up. He had hundreds of boys lined up, and everybody passed the expert, Rosh Shiva Gabbai there, and they would line up, and he would go, kosher, kosher, kosher. Puzzle, like that. But they had to get a new one. It was very cheap.
Very,
That's what they, I'm not saying, but he said that's what it is. Everybody was just lying fast, and he was going good, 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 no good, 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 no good, no good. But they were 10, 15 shkolim for an answer. Very cheap.
It's very easy to find kosher eshrog. It's not necessary to go into shnar the eshrog from your friend. Roiv in Rubam had Yaitas lost the Chavasan, the Yea Kilu Achem Shaloy Nadlu Oisoloyos the Chavasan. It's not the right thing. It's not the right thing. Everyone should run to one person to take the Luv and Eshrog. Vichesron, Vichesoron, Vicherpo, Gedoylihi, Lihoir, Mihulala, the Eretz Yishol, Mikilos, Kidoishois, Kachamim Rabim, Mufusamim, Kain Yerbu, Shayomu, Kiloinims, Bukhlakilos Eshrog, Kosher Elo Ois Eshrog. It's ridiculous. Everyone is running to one person to shake the Luv and Eshrog. That seems to imply that everyone thinks so their eshrog is just a puzzle. Can't be. It can't be. Beyos be'ir, beyos be'ir, ginoi su pardesim, sheyeshman, ribui eshrogim, kesherim, vahaloiktim, oisam heim, machbiyam, hatoivim, umiyakarim, umiyakarim, osam, ki these are kosher people. It cannot be that everyone's eshrog is not a kosher eshrog. You know, it's interesting, you know, I had a discussion with someone recently, and the Eretz is about tefillin. So someone showed me that they have now, they discovered a new problem with tefillin, that the ink in the olden days, even 30 years ago, they would write on different types of parchment, and the ink was a little bit different, and now the inks that we use only 30, 40 years ago, it's fading. The ink is fading. So I asked someone to show me, what do you mean it's fading? So he shows me, he takes the cloth, he has a light underneath the cloth, and he turns on the light, and he shows me with this high intensive light, you can see the difference between these two letters. And if you see the ink over here, it's faded. So I said, turn off the light. Okay, turn off the light. Turn off the light. I'm blind like a bat. I don't see any difference. I don't see any difference. And don't tell me that Chazal, when they wrote, when the Halacha Shulchan Aruch, they were using these high intensity lights behind the parchment to go see. So I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. And there was another very big Talmud Chacham there. And he said also, I don't know what you're talking about. And this guy was going on and on. He was varfing and quoting all these different shitas, big mumchim, and he was basically saying like 70% of the tefillin today in the market are possible. So I just said to him, it can't be. It just can't be that Klal Yisrael, in Klal Yisrael, 70% of the tefillin are possible. It can't be. It just can't. These are extreme, extreme chumras he's doing, but it just can't be. And this Talmud Chacham agree with me. This cannot be. That's what he's saying over here. It's ridiculous. You go to shul, everyone is running to this one fellow. What?
Don't you only have to see with you and I? Not?
Yes, exactly. I told him. So he's, don't ask me. This is a very funny story.
You're using a bug check, then you check
right.
This is more than that. It was more than a bug check. It was more. So the same. He's really. That's what he's writing over here. He's writing over here. He's saying it's not. It's ridiculous. You go to shul. One guy has a very nice eshrog. Everyone is running over and they're shaking the living eshrog. It's you might see last. I mean, if everyone's living eshrog is possible. Everyone, the whole shul is possible. It's ridiculous. So this epidemic of running to one person to go shake the living eshrog.
I'll tell you with Rambaisha. Before I worked there already by 9.99, so for a long time they weren't glatt kosher. Ramosha bought all the meat there. He ate regular kosher, not glatt. The oilman was already eating glatt for years already. And he came and my boss, that time wasn't my boss yet, but he went to him and he said, I'm going over the glatt. And he said, why? So he told him because losing a lot of business.
Market.
He said, if you're telling me if you're losing money, then okay, but if it's otherwise, it'd be mighty laws on kosher. He didn't like the idea that if you're buying it because you think that glatt's better than the regular kosher meat, then that's not a good
thing. So most yayin glatt or most regular?
A few years, right.
Wow.
He trusted, he believed in trusting the person who you bought it from. The main butcher on the east side for a long time wasn't glatt kosher, and everybody
very
used
it. Very few glatt kosher.
Samuel,
when you go to a wedding, I'm not being mutzilas, I don't know the details, but I was told this many times. When you go to a wedding, you go to a dinner, and they're serving meat, or they're serving. It's not shaykh. The standards of what kind of meat that they're serving are not necessarily something that you would get when you go yourself to Glatmart.
What happened to me with that was very funny. I mean, it was funny. We were moving.
It's a lower standard.
We moved to Jersey.
In Kashrus, it's a lower standard of Glat. I don't know if this is correct. There's not enough Glat kosher, Glat, high quality Glat. And even in Glat, there are different levels, different slaughterhouses.
Call it Glat. Now you have the same problem with Beis Yosef. All of a sudden, there was never any Beis Yosef.
Yeah.
Now it is a huge amount of Beis Yosef, and some places only sell Beis Yosef.
Yeah.
Where did it all come from?
Different standards.
It's not the same. It's dumbing down.
It's dumbing down.
When we moved to New Jersey, so our plant was closed for a few weeks. So he gave me an order, and I was living in Flatbush, and I brought her meat. I went over to Glockmart, and I bought some meat and brought it up to his house. So I sent the Rav David in it, you know, jokingly. I said, oh, now you got real. I said, now I gave you something to meat this time. You know, not like from us, you know. He says, I don't want to hear that. I buy meat from you. Don't tell me where you got. I'm not happy. He didn't want to, you know, the joke didn't go over me. It wasn't funny to me.
All right, let's go further. Let's finish up with the Sim Dvarov. Okay, the second.
Yosef was what Glat used to be.
But what is
means no surface.
What's the requirement?
No surface, like Glat used to be. When
I thought they allowed one.
Beis Yosef, they call it now super. They try to give it a name, super Glat.
What the Beis Yosef? It's Beis Yosef.
Beis Yosef. They try to. They call it super one street. They called it super Glat. We would come in with the meat, and he'd call me up in advance. He said, "You see the animals that tag 1 to 20, 1 to 40. Number two, I want in this separate truck. Number 2, 8, 15, and 20. This is real Glat."
I was someone told me went to years ago. There was a very popular caterer. He made a big wedding, 1,000 people, and he wanted tongue. He wanted a very high standard, kasher. So he said to him, this caterer said to him, there doesn't exist such a thing. There's just not enough animals out there that you can...
The big difference in the tongue is to get out one of the veins. You have to really, in a lot of places, you take a look, you buy from the shop over there. It's hard to get out one particular vein. So what they do is they just... they gash the tongue and the vein slides out very easily, but it looks like dog meat after you finish with it. So if you do it like an artist would do it, and you make a little slice, there are butchers who really know what they're doing, they're artists, and they make a little slice and then the vein slides out, and it looks, you know, we had people who like left us and then came back because they couldn't sell it the way it looked. So there's ways to do it. You chop up.
Let's go for the Besim Dvarav Kotel Binyin Zay Masha Kazan Yimsa Yimim Tzu Achayim Gashayim Mehabe Misha Yirtz Lohaysa Vashlosh Mehidu Yoyesa Yesha Tzchai Toiv Hezashav V'lo Yitztarech Lishelchu Eilov Acha Acha Shehiyah Lukula Mesher Kosher. If you have a kosher Esher, you don't have to go Shnar from someone else. Well, Lefi Zay Yimsu Habe Esregim Gashayim Vuzul Habe Mimenu Shehiyu Shehiyuchul Kol Oni Lekles Lotsi Dei Boi V'lo Yitzach Lesher Eshelakol. You don't need to come on to other people. V'yinei Beshut Toru Lishmo Kosev Shema Adam Kod Esher Kosher Kodim Yaltev Kedei Little You get a maton and esrog echad miracheres. V'nasa etzloy shnayim. Lo yivarech al esrog shekonadam. He writes over here that if you went and you spent your hard-earned money on an esrog, which is not so mahudur, and then someone erev yom tov sends you a gift, a most exquisite esrog, you shouldn't take it. You shouldn't use it. You should better use the one that you spent your own money on. Yachol pi she'esrog hasheni shekibem b'maton mahudur yoyse meshubuch, because what you buy, what you put your effort into, is more mahudur in Hashem's eyes than getting for free, getting a handout, someone sending you in the mail an expensive esther that's mahudur. V'yafal shomu b'chazal hidem mitzad shlish mikol lokom yisroin zesh yesh b'esrog shakona b'dam who adif yoyse v'baruch alav. What you purchase is better. So he says, what you can do is you can take it afterwards. You can take it as, don't make the bracha. The bracha should be on the eshek which you purchased. And then you want to use the other eshek, so you can use it for the nanuim. Hananum shall halal be a kofos yasa be oisa shakon b'davim. The num of halal shall still be the one that you purchase with the money. V'chol zehu lo be atzmo. Avli acherim shavayt zelitin lohem b'maton amanas lahachser sheyetsu yedei chavosay vada oisay ha'hodr odif. But he says that if someone wants to give you maton amanas lahachser, okay, I don't know where he's drawing the line here.
No, he's saying that if you have the two, so you should use the one that you pay for.
Right. You want to give out to some other people to make the bracha, give the bracha, give the bracha, so they anyway didn't pay any money. So it seems to indicate the opposite, but you have to know what the case is. Well, maybe yours are not even kosher b'dieved, but the case of Shulchan Aruch at face value seems to say that if you have a choice between yours, which is kosher, and something you got for free as a gift that's mechuder, better use the one that you got as a gift that's mechuder, even though you did not pay for it and you did not put in toil into acquiring it. Alright, let's stop over here. Take a short break. We didn't do too much, but I'll wait for tomorrow.